Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Happy Easter again. The first witness to the resurrected Christ was Mary Magdalene. On the day immediately following the crucifixion, Mary and all the other disciples had stayed at home. The whole of that terrible Sabbath day, they must have been just overwhelmed with grief, and I can just imagine them talking together about all the events of the past day and reliving it over and over, as people do when they're trying to come to grips with a great loss. But when the Sabbath was finally over, they lost no time in doing what they could still do for their teacher and Lord and friend. They gathered together all the spices and oils and anything else that they might have needed for the proper anointing of Jesus' body. And before the sun had even risen, while it was still dark, they headed to the grave. And Mark tells us that as they came, the women were discussing the problem of how they were going to manage to roll aside that huge stone that blocked the entrance to the tomb. But of course, we know they didn't need to worry about that, because when they got there, they found that the stone was already rolled away and the tomb was completely empty, except for the grave clothes that had been neatly rolled up and set aside, no longer needed. Finding the empty tomb, Mary's first thought was somebody must have come and stolen Jesus' body. Until the moment that Jesus spoke her name, it never occurred to her that maybe the tomb was empty because that man's dead body that they had wrapped in cloth and laid inside it wasn't a dead body anymore, but a living man, not just resuscitated, brought back to life for a little while, like Lazarus, but a man so full of life that he would never die again. Nobody recognized the resurrection when it happened on that first Easter day. Mary doesn't even seem to have been able to believe it when the angel said something. It took everyone, every last one of them, by surprise. Peter and John came running to see for themselves when the women came with this wild story about the tomb being empty. And John, who's a typical young man, has to tell us that he was faster than Peter and that he got there first. And when he stooped and looked into the tomb, John says he believed, but that doesn't mean he believed that Jesus had risen from the dead, not yet. What he means is that he believed, having seen for himself, that the women weren't crazy after all. And he and Peter just went back home wondering what on earth was going on. I think a lot of times we like to imagine Easter morning. We imagine that the women, the apostles, came eagerly to the empty tomb on that first Easter morning, and they were so full of joy that they burst into a rousing rendition of the Hallelujah chorus, and they shouted, "He is risen indeed," as they ran through the streets handing out Easter lilies and tracts with Bible verses so everyone would believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, or something like that we have in our minds. But the resurrection was much more bewildering, much more earth-shattering than that. That first witness to the resurrection stood at the entrance to the tomb and wept her heart out to think that she'd lost everything, even the dead body of her Lord and friend, which was all she had left of him. And it wasn't that they never heard about the resurrection. When Jesus had supper with the disciples on the road to Emmaus on the night of the resurrection, he pointed out to them how the Hebrew scriptures, that's our Old Testament, foretold everything that happened to him. And Philip the evangelist, our own Philip, showed the Ethiopian eunuch that the prophecies of Isaiah were talking about Jesus himself and how he died and rose again. And we know that Jesus had been teaching his disciples very directly about what was going to happen. The Son of Man must suffer and be killed, he told them again and again. And on the third day, he will be raised up. It just doesn't get any plainer than that. But it was all too strange. It was all too impossible a thing for them to take in until they'd seen it for themselves. Nobody, not a single person, looked into the empty tomb and thought, "Wow, Jesus must be walking around someplace, well and strong and infinitely alive." Not until Mary, standing and weeping by the cold tomb in the first rays of that Easter morning, not until she heard his voice speak her name. And then at last, as unthinkably impossible as it seemed, Mary knew that Jesus was really and truly and solidly alive again, not a ghost, but the farthest thing possible from a ghost, not less than alive, but more than alive, unquenchably, incorruptibly, indestructibly, unendingly alive. And then at last she cried out for joy, and she embraced her beloved teacher. Nobody expected the resurrection because it was something completely new. If you like to read science fiction, I think it was a little bit like a wormhole that opened the way into a new and different reality. The way Paul puts it is that God delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. At Easter time, people like to talk about symbols of the resurrection. They use butterflies hatching from caterpillars, and springtime following the darkness of winter, and eggs creating the germ of life within them. But the truth is that the resurrection isn't like any of those things. The resurrection isn't any part of this world's unending cycle of life and death and life and death again. The resurrection was the breaking of that cycle once and for all. When Jesus walked out of the tomb on that first Easter morning, divine life began, that very moment to break in upon this sad, tired world. Sin and death are not the boss of us anymore. We don't need to fear judgment because our sins were left nailed to the cross, and we have received grace and forgiveness. We don't need to fear death because we will live with him forever, and we will see again all those people whose loss we feel so deeply now. As soon as the earth shook and the stone rolled away from the tomb, light came out of the tomb and began to infect the darkness of this world at once. Healing began. And all of us who have the Spirit of the risen Christ dwelling in our hearts are ambassadors of that healing. We are carriers of grace and mercy and hope. Even as we ourselves are being transformed day by day into his likeness through the power of the one who was dead and now is alive forever. It was the last thing in the world that anyone expected. Alleluia, he is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.